This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Experts on it. It's Thorne Eystrom they have on every year when we lead up to the NFL draft. He's at Fantasy Life now. He's their NFL draft guy on Twitter at ThorKU. So Thor has the KU reference in his name as well, even though he doesn't live that way. He lives up in Minneapolis at this point. But Thor, what's up?
You can take the boy out of Rock Chalk, but you can't take Rock Chalk out of the boy.
That's right. That's what you got. All right. So, honestly, as a draft analyst, what do you think of this draft? Are you enamored by it? Or I don't look at it as deep as what I've seen in the past. Like last year was rough, rounds 5 to 7. I think a lot of guys are staying in school, taking some Neil money, and improving their draft stock, to be honest with you. And with guys cherry-picking what activities they're going to do, I think it's lost a tad bit of its luster.
Yeah, and you don't, you know, the quarterbacks, we just have the two that can step in day one. You know, you come off a class last year where you had the 6 in the top 12. We're down in receiving talent this year. I think overall, if you looked at it, you'd probably say a slightly below average draft class. But, you know, there are positions that are way juiced up. We have the best running back class this year that we've had in probably 10 years. And then the interior defensive line class is another one that is just absolutely stacked up and down. So, you know, it's a good year to need to be shopping for a couple of different things, those two in particular.
Yeah, and as far as the Chiefs are concerned, that's kind of what they need. They need running back depth. I wouldn't do it in the first round, but definitely it's a deep draft as far as the running back classes. Outstanding. Defensive line, like you said, interior defensive line is ridiculously good. And at 31, where the Chiefs pick, if you don't trade down, you could probably get a very, very serviceable defensive lineman like a Derek Harmon they really like at Oregon at 31. Tight end draft, too. It's a pretty deep tight end draft as well. It kind of bodes well for the Kansas City Chiefs. What would you do at 31? Because I've always been to the point where if you want a left tackle, which the Chiefs need, you either trade down or you don't get one at 31.
Yeah, that's probably it. I mean, you know, we've seen this a few times over the last couple of years where the Chiefs take one in the first couple rounds in offensive linemen, and they get, you know, a little bit of a on-the-surface discount, but those guys haven't taking the step forward developmentally yet, and so you're sort of in the same spot. This class, you know, I probably would put, you know, offensive tackle dash, you know, if you want to go to guard, well, I mean, we'll see what happens with Trey Smith, but you're going to need someone to fall down to you that would have a legitimate shot to start day one. I don't think the Chiefs want to take another toolsy guy where it's like, oh, we'll just polish this and then hope for the best. So you might be, you know, be it cornerback, be it receiver, be it interior defensive line, you're monitoring those positions and see if someone falls down to you that shouldn't. And there's probably a better chance that one of those latter position groups that someone will fall down to you that shouldn't, as opposed to the offensive line. Because I think it's another year where there's like, you know, the small grouping of guys where teams feel that they can step in, no doubt about it, day one and start. And I feel like those guys are probably going to be gone by the time Chiefs get on the clock.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got to go down early to get a different speaker. Maybe edge. We've seen more edges, you know, go in the later part of the first round, even the second round, where it used to be you had to be top 15 to get an elite level type of edge perform. But the offensive line is interesting because it brings that question, you know, do you go and get, you know, a free agent offensive tackle, or you do it through the draft for left tackle? Hey, I go through free agency because unless you trade down, I don't feel that left tackle is going to be there. What do you think about some of these wide receivers, Thor? Obviously, they're not going to get Teterow McMillan. He's going to go way early. I can't wait to see what he runs in his 40. Is he going to run in the combine?
If I was him, if I was his representation, I'd probably advise no, because he is the very clear wide receiver one in this class, and there's a break after him. So it's one of those things you don't have anything to prove at that point. So if I was him, I wouldn't.
Yeah, Luther Burden is really interesting. During the year, he was looked as a top 10 pick, and then you start to see him slide to 15. Now I've seen some mocks where he's in the 20s and stuff like that. All of a sudden it becomes more tangible for the Chiefs. I don't know where you sit, Thor, but last year, clearly you knew I was really high on wide receivers when we brought you on, and it turned out to be Xavier Worthy, the guy they went with, which I think ended up being a good pick for the Kansas City Chiefs. But I want to give Patrick Mahomes weapons. I mean, we saw what happened in the Super Bowl. Give him offensive weapons. I would not be against a wide receiver at 31.
No, especially the constitution of the receiver room for the Chiefs right now, where you're going to have the two guys back in Worthy and Rice. But then after that, basically everybody's a free agent, right? I mean, everybody in that room essentially is a free agent. So you need to have the three starting caliber wide receivers, but it's going to happen somewhere, you know? I mean, like, and if they don't have that by the time the draft gets there, think you're probably going to be targeting a wide receiver early. The options that you could potentially go to, could Burden fall that far? I think Burden is in for a fall, especially against, you know, the expectations a year ago at this time. I would be very surprised if it was that far. I think that one's more like if Burden gets past the Cardinals and then he gets into like the low 20s, would we engage in a trade up? I think that's more the scenario as far as Burden goes. At the spot the Chiefs are picking, the more realistic ones, could Ikpuka fall down there? I think that one's iffy too. Matthew Golden, I think, would be an option that probably is going to go right around there. Coming out of Texas, spent 1 year there. Interestingly enough, did not play with Xavier Worthy in college.
Yeah.
But both come out of Texas. But I do think their games would fit together pretty well if you decided to go in that direction. So, yeah, I think that's an option for sure.
Yeah, and Sark talks to Andy Reid. You know, he was a big influence in Xavier Worthy, you know, being drafted to the Kansas City Chiefs as far as that was concerned. But, yeah, I look at potential game changers there. When you look at the running backs, how many of you honestly think are going in the first round? Like last year we saw some records being set with wide receivers. The seven were taken in the first round. We saw eight offensive linemen taken in the first round that set a record. When you look at the overall, are we looking kind of the similar thing with running backs as far as you think first round? We maybe just see Ginty in a Hampton, or maybe just Ginty in the first round?
Yeah. If I had to bet right now, I would say one. I know that the number in Vegas is going to be set at 1.5. I would lean under right now. And a part of that is because of how stacked the running back class is. Now, Ginty, he stands heads and shoulders above the rest. He's one of the best running backs we've seen coming to the NFL in the last 20 years. He's going to go where he's going to go, right? The Cowboys is a ubiquitous one. Could potentially even go a little bit above that, be it to the Bears, or the Raiders, I think, is the highest one I've seen bandied about. But he's going to go somewhere in there. After that, though, I think the depth of the running back class, where you go legitimately 30 to 40 deep. I mean, the NFL Combine, I think we had
329. The 329 total, but I don't know the exact running backs.
And I think 31 of those were running backs. There's even a few running backs outside of that that, you know, it's like maybe that guy should have gone as well. It's just a stacked running back class. So I'm curious if that sort of artificially depresses the price points of the non-Genty running backs. So like my thought is, why would you take, you know, let's say Omarion Hampton or Caleb Johnson, why would you take them at the end of the first round when you're looking at the day two options and you're like, these guys are all going to be had on enormous discounts relative to where they would have gone last year? I think this is the year where you do not have to reach up for a running back. And some of those guys might get pushed down just a little bit because of that. But we're going to have a bonanza of running backs day two and day three.
Yeah, we have 30 is the total count that's going to the combine. So there's going to be a lot of running backs to evaluate and interview for the various teams going there. As far as nationally the big picture is concerned, we talked a little bit about Travis Hunter choosing to go to the combine as a defensive back. I know that Deion and stuff says he can play both ways, and I know Travis Hunter probably thinks he can play both ways, but is that the right decision? Because I always like him more as a wide receiver.
Well, you're going to see him as both in the NFL. It's just, what is it initially as a rookie, what percentage does his pick, the organization that picks him, do they think, what percentage of offensive snaps do they think his body can handle without extremely elevating the injury risk? Is that going to be, as a rookie, like right out the gate, is that going to be 30? Is that going to be 40? Is that going to be 50? But they're going to choose some sort of number. And then I think the way this will go down is whatever team it is, you're going to have two different playbooks. Okay. You know, you're going to have the non-Travis Hunter playbook, and probably the best fit for this would be the Vikings with O'Connell. They run 12 personnel on something like 53 to 55% of the snaps are either Josh Oliver, the inline blocking tight end, is out there with Hawkinson, or they swap him out for C.J. Ham, who's like a pass blocking fullback, H-backy type guy. If it was a team like that with that constitution, and then you're running three wide receivers 45% of the time, well, you'd have your 55% 12 personnel non-Hunter playbook, and then the other part you'd with the three wide receivers with Hunter, and Hunter would be a wide receiver one for those snaps for a lot of the different teams that are in line to potentially take him. For the Browns, those, let's say, 40% of snaps, he is wide receiver one on those snaps. Jerry Judy's going to get kicked down to wide receiver two. The Patriots, he would be by far and away the wide receiver one, et cetera, et cetera. But, yeah, he is going to be playing both ways. That's what he wants to do. Travis Hunter wants to be the Shohei Ohtani of football. Obviously did that throughout his collegiate career, Jackson State and then Colorado. He's going to try that in the NFL as well, and he's going to have success with it. They just have to figure out the right formula of the amount of snaps that he can handle.
Talking to our draft guy, Thor Nystrom, from a lot of times on Character Concerns, he's our main draft guy, to be honest with you, going forward. Fantasy Life is where he does his draft analyst work. All right, what about the tight end position? Like, what if Kelsey does walk into the sunset? They drafted Jared Wiley last year in the fourth round, got hurt this year, actually liked Wiley a lot. Obviously, Tyler Warren is, in my mind, the kind of Brock Bowers of this draft class. Colston Loveland there. And then I see guys you can get in the second and third round. Like Harold Fannin's interesting to me at Bowling Green, makes a ton of catches, but he's a little bit undersized as far as weight's concerned. Gunnar Helm at Texas is actually a guy I started really liking at the very beginning of the year because we finally got to see his athleticism. He leads Texas in catches this year.
Yeah, Gunnar Helm's an interesting one. In that scenario that you're talking about, and then you get into day two, Gunnar Helm probably goes on in round three, but he is interesting. He was stuck behind Jatavion Sanders at Texas, and there's a funny story the position coach there, Jeff Banks, tells about how after the 2022 season where Gunnar Helm went into his office and made the argument, I'm better than Jatavion. Why is Jatavion playing 90% of the snaps and I'm playing 10 when I'm better than him?
He was.
I'm just as good as a receiver and I am a better blocker. And I think he proved this year he was telling the truth, Gunnar Helm was. He should have been playing probably more than Jatavion, that last season there. We got to see it this year. He's a guy that can play in line and out to the intermediate range, very reliable as a receiver. And he's going to give you a little bit of blocking as well. So it's a two-way tight end. That for the Chiefs, if Kelsey did walk away round three, I think probably you target a guy like that.
It's funny because I remember early in the season with Texas and, Gunnar Helm started being awesome from the beginning, but he wasn't on the radar, wasn't on maps. And then all of a sudden he started getting up there to the fourth best tight end or fifth best tight end. It's like his athleticism to me jumped off the charts. And I was like, yeah, that could be a definite guy as far as you want a receiving tight end. That can definitely be it. But Tyler Warren, I think he's the best tight end in the draft. I don't know where you sit, if you're Loveland guy or Tyler Warren, but Tyler Warren at Penn State, he'll be top 15 probably at minimum, if not higher.
I believe so. And yes, Tyler Warren's tight end one in this class. Tyler Warren's ridiculous. I mean, the guy is 6'6", 260 pounds, and you were mentioning this, they kind of use him. In fact, you're like Brock Bowers, who is way smaller than he is. You know, you see the specialized usage where it's not just as the Tyler Warren was the wide receiver one for that team, if you look at it like that. But in addition to that, they manufactured all these touches for him. Again, similar to Brock Bowers. The end arounds, shifting him into the backfield, handing it off to him within five yards, your goal to go, whatever. You had that different stuff with him. And then trick play utility. There was one play against USC. He was the center in a shotgun set with all the offensive linemen to his right. Yeah, and he was eligible as the last guy in the line on the left. Snaps the ball, ran down the field, and posterized the kid in the end zone. They just chucked it up to him. You can do all this different stuff for him. He is going to go in the top 15. I think the end of the road for him, if he gets through, the end of the road is the Colts. If he gets there, the Colts are going to turn that card in really quick. But, yeah, he absolutely could go above that. He is the best tight end in this class. And then I think Colson Loveland right after him. And I think Colson Loveland, probably the end of the road for him, is probably the Denver Broncos at 20. And if not that, for sure the Chargers two picks later. So I think the Chiefs will be boxed out of those guys. But in day two, to your point, there is some of those attractive options. And I really like Harold Fannin. And I think Harold Fannin's stock goes back up. I think he's going to test better than people think at the combine. His tracking numbers with the chips down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, they have the zebra tracking system. Harold Fannin, as far as that went, was the most athletic tight end that the zebra system had tracked since they started doing it at the Senior Bowl 6-7 years ago.
Do you think he'll come in at 6'3"? Because if he's 6'2 or 6'1, he's an amazing talent from Bowling, amazing talent. But will that hold him back, do you think, if he's actually 6'3"? Because we don't know for sure.
He is 6'3", because in Mobile, he was 6'3 and 1'8".
Okay.
So we do have that. The weight aspect at Bowling Green, they listed him at 230. He got onto the scale at 238 at the Senior Bowl.
Okay.
I'm curious to see what is he going to do as far as the weight goes, right? Like, there's some dudes that want to step on that scale and be above the threshold thing. So will Harold Fannin go into Indianapolis and try to be low 240s? He's close enough. He would be able to do it. Or with the testing in mind, where does he think he is better off as far as that goes? Are you going to see him lose a little bit of weight and come back closer to 230 to test better? But then you're going to have the teams being like, well, but you were around 230 when you did that. So I'm very curious to see where he weighs in at, and then how many tests. Is he going to do the full gamut of tests? I hope he does.
Because if you're looking at the third round for the Chiefs and where they're sitting, they do have the second pick in the third round from the Titans, because it's not the first pick. It'll be the second pick, 66. But Elijah Arroyo is very interesting to me. Mason Taylor at LSU. These are possible third-round guys to me.
For sure. Yeah, Mason Taylor, of course, the son of Miami Dolphins legend Jason Taylor,
that's right,
nephew of Zach Thomas. So he's all kinds of Miami royalty and the NFL bloodlines. And what he's really got, he's the inline tight end as well. He looks like this pointing Spider-Man gif of Jason, of course. You know, like on the field, it was like, oh man, those guys. And he moves around like that in the big frame too. And what you saw a lot at LSU, the thing that they juiced this year, it was timing concepts with him in the intermediate range. So their quarterback, Garrett Nussmeier, he's like a, it's kind of like a poor man swashbuckling Tony Romo, the way he moves around and then chucks the ball. And he goes downfield. And then off of that, once they had the coverage resources off of Mason Taylor, what you would see is bootleg concepts. So they fake it, and then Nussmeier would boot around. And every time out of the break, you know, just he would toss it right there, right where Taylor could turn around, ball would be on his hands. Taylor was tremendous at that, both lining up his timing with the quarterback, smoothly catching that ball, and then the smooth transition from receiver to runner. You would see him shoot up the field really quick. You know, some guys, it's a bit mechanical in that transition, and this is like an underrated thing where you're going to get way more yards and yak in the NFL, the smoother transition guys, and that is certainly Mason Taylor.
Thor is a must-follow for Chiefs fans, especially the Thor does a great job breaking down these prospects. Fantasy Life is where he's at. Thor, what are you working on next? What's coming up next for your evaluations?
We're dropping the quarterback rankings will be the next thing. I got through my scouting reports on those, so we're going to have early next week the full top 10, top 15 maybe. I actually feel pretty confident about my read out to 18, so I might even put out my top 18 quarterbacks.
Sweet.
And then we're moving on to running backs after that, and we'll be putting out the scouting reports for those top guys next week. and follow those up with a top 15, top 20 running back.
Well, I'll definitely be checking out the running backs. I think people in this town will be checking that out. I do want to ask you one quick selfish question, Thor.
Yeah.
Because I've had a theory on why Michael Penix was taken after Kirk Cousins gets the bag from Atlanta. They still draft Penix. All right, was Atlanta smart thinking, let's go ahead and get a quarterback now instead of waiting for 25 and 26? We don't like the quarterback classes as well, and we don't think we'll be picking in the top 10. Or is that what they were thinking? Were they smart about it? Or like, what the hell, let's just go ahead and get Penix?
I think the sect of the building behind the Penix pick, absolutely. Yes, exactly what you're saying. The issue there and why everyone is so confused and what that whole thing came, where the Cousins signing, it came from the other side of the building, which would be the ownership-led part of the building, right? So okay. It's like Arthur Blank's like right at the start of free agency. I'm not watching Desmond Ridder again for 16 games. I don't care. We're signing Kirk Cousins. And then I think the front office was more like, yeah, this is the year to get the quarterback. And we're probably not as confident as you are the next 3 years of Kirk Cousins, Arthur. So that's, yeah, there was a little bit of confusion there. They obviously screwed up with Kirk Cousins.
Great stuff, Thor Nystrom. We'll talk to you again, my friend. Always appreciate your time. Look forward to your running back evaluations. Quarterback, sure, but we don't need one. So running backs will definitely be interested in.
Can't wait, sir. We'll
Thanks,
talk
Thor.
To
you. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know.
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.